Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Los Angeles, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Andy.
What's up, bud?
It's our first Dirty Sports that's not in the morning in so long.
So long, right? It's crazy.
So I've cracked a delicious Pilsner, the original light beer, Miller Lite. Not that there's anything wrong with drinking in the morning. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, but I mean, when we're doing the evening, I must have one with our episode.
I know, man. It's about 7:15 your time. It's 10:15 here. I have been participating in some cannabis from my end.
Woo!
Yeah. Feeling nice. a little Doja, as the rappers used to say, like Master P in the 90s. Smoking on that Doja. That was always a funny one to me. Doja.
Here we go. We got it. We got the stoned Andy Ruther laugh back.
It's been a minute.
You tend to do that. You just get super stoned. You'll be like, I just got so many tacos.
That's right, man. You know, it was a rough day. I had to coach third graders and try to teach them one offensive play, one out of bounds play, and then see if they can implement it into a practice. Ooh.
Third graders are how old? Seven?
Eight or nine.
Okay. 8 or 9. And are they competent basketball players?
They're learning. I've had them for about a month. We haven't had a game. We were supposed to have our first tournament last week. Got canceled thanks to COVID. Too many teams pulled out.
Like you guys are able to run like offensive sets?
Like we have one offensive set.
Just give and go at the top of the key?
No.
You're running handoffs?
It's mostly pick and roll.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. Very D'Antoni.
So it's basically spread the floor out. We got guidance from another person who's coached third graders a bunch. He said your goal should be one offensive play, one out of bounds play, under the hoop, one side out of bounds play. If you can get the kids to kind of space out, know how to set picks, know how to roll from the picks. But, you know, we got like one kid who's really good in our team.
Yeah.
Who can handle the ball. And he's tall for his age. Now, I was telling the head coach, I said, look, dude, this dude should carry the ball. This dude should bring it up the whole time. He's just going to shoot the whole time. And, we don't want that. So it's kind of, I did catch myself saying we don't want Kobe Bryant basketball, and the kids gave me like blinking guy meme, like they didn't know what I was talking about.
Right. Well, I can't wait to hear how you guys fare once you start playing games. What are there games scheduled that have yet to be canceled?
Yeah, I mean, so we're in the Catholic League because it's a Catholic school. Yeah. We have all those games scheduled. So we'll see. First game's supposed to be next week.
Now, Andy, in other Andy Ruther-related news, it is Thanksgiving Eve, one of the biggest party days in America normally. Not this year, but it's also Andy Ruther birthday Eve.
It is.
Tomorrow is your birthday. You turn how old?
39.
Ugh, it's the worst. 39. It's
a weird age.
Not even a good one.
Yeah. Almost there.
How do you feel?
Good. I mean, I think it's a relative term, right?
Yeah.
For obvious reasons with my parents being gone, I've dreaded this birthday more than any in my entire life. And it's also on Thanksgiving, so it's that double whammy. But I think I'll be all right. I'll bounce around my brothers tomorrow, and they're all doing with COVID.
Except Elliot.
Elliot's probably not making the cut. Man, putting me on blast. And you didn't make the cut. Sorry. He's on the other side of town.
Yeah. Why, does Elliot listen to the show?
No.
No.
I don't think he knows how to operate podcasts.
I didn't just break the news to him. You'll break the news to him when you do not show up to his house tomorrow.
Well, I wasn't technically invited. He actually invited him. He actually invited him and his family to this house.
So
that was kind of a reverse psychology move. He's like, "We'd love to get together for Thanksgiving." I was like, "Cool." He's like, "We're thinking about coming over there." I'm like, "I'm not going to be here." So yeah, I'm bummed though, Joe. I'm bummed that the main game that I cared about, like a lot of us, has been postponed, the Steelers Ravens,
which there's a lot of talk about. There, it seems as though, and I'm not sure what people were expecting from the NFL, as there's really never been any rhyme or reason to their, you know, punishments, their schedule. There's like, you know, we've seen this through the years, like one guy does one, you know, a personal hit for one guy, a personal foul for one guy is $5,000, for another guy is 50. You know, you beat up your girlfriend, you're not suspended. You deflate a football, you're suspended 4 games. You murder somebody, let's see what happens. Like, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to what happens if a member or multiple members of your team get diagnosed or have a positive COVID test, I should say.
Yeah.
There was games that I believe it was the first game of the year that got postponed, got moved from a Sunday to a Tuesday. Then we had, and this is the weird one, we had the Patriots just have to play a game without Cam Newton. And then we had the Raiders recently have to play a game without a bunch of guys, but now the Ravens get postponed. I understand that it's not being moved to a different week. It's just being moved from obviously a Thursday prime time to the regular Sunday. But like, there is no rhyme or reason to why this happens, correct? No. Am I wrong?
I agree. I've read enough on it. Same thing. Like, teams are being forced to play. Some teams aren't. Some teams get rescheduled, get bumped back. There's no method to this mayhem at all at this point. And it was the only game that people cared about. Nobody cares about the Lions. Nobody cares about the Cowboys. Nobody cares about the Redskins.
And the other thing is, what seems to me is a lot of people, obviously, and we'll get into the Nick Saban thing down the road, but a lot of people have issues, not just in sports, but in general. COVID tests, they're negative. There's a lot of false everythings. So it doesn't seem that crazy to me that the answer is, if you have a positive test, you're out that week. Everybody else goes on with business as usual. And if their tests are negative, then their tests are negative. Like, if those guys on the Ravens had positive tests, they're out. They're done. Now you test everybody else, and if everybody's fine, you're playing Thursday without them.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Super Bowl is such a big deal that they're not moving the Super Bowl to a Tuesday. But my point is, like, regular season games, we're not talking about this being the end all be all for any team. At this point, you got to treat this year like COVID's hamstring. You know, you're out. You're now out for the week. And just move on. Like, is there a chance that those guys may get to be able to play on Tuesday?
I don't think so. You mean Sunday?
Sunday. So we're just,
because isn't it their two running backs? Isn't it? It's
Ingram, Dobbins. Yeah, and like multiple other guys.
I mean, it just sucks. Because like I said, those other games were garbage. Nobody cares about Lions, Texans, Washington, Dallas.
I mean, no one cares, but we'll all watch all of them.
Well, yeah, but like, awful games, man.
Right.
But in fact, I was going to say this. I was going to predict, so probably it wouldn't happen, that this was going to be the game the Steelers lose.
Right. I was going to predict that as well. I have a hot take that has nothing to do with COVID and this game in particular, but I prefer the two standard Thanksgiving games. I don't like the addition of the Thanksgiving night game.
Get it out there. Why not?
I'm in a turkey coma.
Okay.
It's been a long day.
Yeah.
I mean, even in, let me just say this. In California, I tend to be drunk, turkey coma'd. You're cooking all day. You're eating all day. You're doing all these things all day. You're spent. I mean, obviously, it's not that hard. It's not like I'm playing in the game. I'm not quarterbacking the Steelers. Like, all I have to do is lay there with my feet up and watch the game. But I can say with 100% certainty, for the East Coast people, it is way too late. I have aggressively fallen asleep during Thanksgiving games when I was in the East Coast. I was on the East Coast for Thanksgiving last year. I barely made it through that game.
Yeah, no, the naps are had, right? Like, naps are happening.
But like, it's just like it feels like later than prime time football.
Yeah.
It's such a long day of food and.
Like, I don't hate that take, for the record. You already have two games. Like, that's one of those where I'm like, yeah, I can totally see your side.
And there's a tradition. I have no idea what it has to do with why it was the Cowboys and the Lions originally. I'm sure there's some history to that. Is it something with silver and blue? Is it something with the letter D? I don't know. But it was a tradition. I don't know how long ago they started a primetime game, but it wasn't 20 years ago, that's for sure.
It was in the last 10 years.
I'd say so. Maybe a little bit longer. I'm going to say 12.
I'm going to look it up, Joe.
Because I remember watching a Giants-Broncos game when I was still living in New York, I think. Call it 2008, 2009.
Good call, man. Good call. 2006. That's when they did it.
Yep.
So, 14 years. It's been that long, huh? God, these fuckers take over everything, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL is just, you know, if it was up to them, they'd have a game every day of the week.
Yeah. If they could figure out how to do that scheduling-wise, they for sure would.
So what are your plans for Thanksgiving?
I'm doing a very small, socially distanced outdoor celebration at Andy Laz's place. Myself, Andy, some lady friends, my girlfriend, his girlfriend. I don't want to put the title on her, but the lady he's currently seeing. And I believe it's just the four of us and his neighbors, maybe the one couple who he shares a driveway with.
Is it still good weather?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I think it'll be mid 60s, low 70s, but they're calling for some winds. But I golfed yesterday with a nice crew of comedic white guys, me, Laz, Gubbins, and Matt Knudsen. And it was beautiful weather. It was just perfect. Not too hot, not too cold. Sun was shining. It's glorious.
Where'd you golf?
Woodley Lakes, which is like in the Encino-ish area.
The valley.
Yeah. Just right there off the 405.
Now, Joe,
just past the 101.
When you're partaking in the Thanksgiving festivities tomorrow, I assume you're going to be drinking America's finest Pilsner, Miller Lite.
Yeah, of course I will. And honestly, the fact that I just cracked one right now is like grease in the wheels for tomorrow.
Yeah.
The great thing about Thanksgiving, and again, this is why I don't like the late game, I just want to get to all my stuff during the day, crack open a Miller Lite as I start preparing the food, 11 a.m., noon. It's a slow, steady burn on Thanksgiving. So I would imagine that sometime around 11 a.m. tomorrow, I'll have my first Miller Lite, and I'll just take it through. Not that primetime game now.
Yeah. Well, Dirt Balls, whether you're toasting in person or cheersing from afar, Miller Lite has always been about bringing you, your friends, and your family together for Miller time. Miller Lite, great taste with only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs. However you and your friends are enjoying Miller time, you can have the original light beer delivered by going to MillerLite.com/dirtysports and find the delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Andy, I said this on the show, I believe it was last week, but I did it again yesterday. So first of all, I got myself a Miller Lite golf towel.
Yeah.
Inside of my bag for when I need to, you know, wipe off my clubs, wipe off my hands, whatever the case may be. And when we golf, especially when Laz and I are together, but we try to get the other group involved, the other people that we play with, we play something called Escalation Sensation. And that is on the par threes. Yeah, it's glorious. On the par threes.
By the way, that's what the girls call when they have sex with me. They
get, yeah, yeah.
Andy gives me that escalation sensation.
What I think like when I, what I think I sound like when I'm having sex, escalation sensation. What I do sound like. So on the par threes, we basically play closest to the pin. And whoever's closest to the pin, if you make your par, you win money. And we escalate it for as the par threes go along. So like,
yeah,
sometimes it's 5, 10, 15, 20. Yesterday, the crowd was a little tight on their purse string. So we did 3, 6, 9, $12 holes. And I won the six and the $12 holes. No one else qualified for the other ones. But when I need a shot on the escalation sensation, if somebody's close to the hole and I just got to try to get closer, you know what I do, Andy? I crack a Miller Lite. I have a sip. I take a little bit, I put it on the Miller Lite towel, and I just rub some of that golden goodness onto my club face. Yeah, it's my go-to move. And yesterday, it won me $60. $18 from everybody yesterday.
Who came up with the softcore porn name Escalation Sensation?
I don't know. It was before my time. I've just been grandfathered into the Escalation Sensation. I was not there for the.
Is that an Andy Lazarus thing?
It's either an Andy Laz or one of Andy Laz's buddies, because they were like, "Do you want to participate in Escalation Sensation?" And I was like, "Do I have to get naked?" And they're like, "No, you just gotta hit some par threes."
I'm here for the Escalation Sensation gangbang.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the Miller Lite scrub has come in clutch. I've taken a lot of money off of Dennis Gubbins. An Escalation Sensation just in two rounds.
I don't think you need the good luck from our friends at Miller Lite to take money off Gubbins.
Gubbins, a pretty good golfer, actually.
Okay, I stand corrected.
That's not really surprising, right? Like he's the master of like the recreational sport. Like he plays frisbee, he golfs, he plays like,
yeah.
As long as sweating isn't involved, Gubbins has mastered it.
I'm just thinking of the time we were playing volleyball in Venice Beach and he took off to make the worst looking chili dog I've ever seen because he was he was so high on edibles. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Remember? It was so hot that day. Every single person who left there that day was like, I need a cold glass of water. And Gubbins was like, I need two chili dogs. And you're like, okay, dog.
He did a cardinal sin. He was out of cheese, so he took a slice of cheese and cut it up and put that on top of the dog and the meat. Oh, my God, you cannot do that.
Yeah, I'm not a big hot dog guy, but at the very least, I would put it between the meat and the bun.
Yeah.
Melt it that way.
Like, that is that's like a college, I'm drunk and have no food move.
Gubbins is the only guy who would finish a marathon and he'd be like, immediately eat a chili dog.
Well, you know, did I tell you this? During the LA marathon, they do it every year, probably mile like 3 or 4, right when you get through downtown, like by Figueroa, there's a stand of them giving chili dogs. And I think that's the joke.
Why? Really?
Dude, I almost barfed. So, you know,
the biggest legend in the world is the guy who stops and gets one and still finishes on it with a decent time.
Well, there were a couple people, and I remember, you know, I'm like doing a double, triple take as I'm running. I'm like, wait a second. Are they passing out chili dogs? Like,
I mean, early
on in the race.
Just from a what you don't want to be holding standpoint. Like, chili's all loose and bouncing. I've never even watched The Office, and it still makes me think of the GIF from The Office where the guy drops the entire thing of chili.
In fact, I think the guy who ran in the Borat outfit, because, you know, a guy ran in a Borat outfit when I did the LA Marathon. By the way,
very nice.
Guy crushed me.
Yeah.
Guy's barely covering his junk with that little tiny bathing suit, whatever it is. Guy crushed me. I think he might have eaten a chili dog, too. This guy's like the most – I mean, this guy's
I pulled over, if you remember, in Santa Monica to watch you come by, and we got worried about you at one point. We were like, where is Andy? And I'm like – I thought something had gone drastically wrong when a guy in a Borat costume holding two chili dogs ran by. I was like, there's no way this guy's ahead of Andy. Then when the guys in the wheelchair started to come by, I'm like, wait, did Andy, like, go off course?
We need that should be the stat. You know how they list the final times of everybody who participates? They need, okay, these are the times, these are the breakdowns, these are the splits. Then they need a second one for, like, these are the people who ate chili dogs, and this is how they fared.
I think that should be, like, a thing. I think you should be able to deduct 15 minutes from your time for a chili dog you eat.
Oh, I wonder where that hits you, right, Joe? Like, let's say it's mile 4, and it's 26.2 miles. Yeah. At what point, and also the salt, you know, there's a reason they're handing out orange slices, like, every mile, because you got to keep the hydration. So you figure the salt in the meat and the cheese and everything that's going to do the exact opposite. Like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you know what? Kudos to those people who do it every year, because it's so ridiculous and such a troll move, but it's so funny. Joe, welcome to Thanksgiving episode with me, Little Baked, because we took one nugget.
About chili dogs, and so far we're 20 minutes in. We've covered that the Steelers game has been postponed.
Yeah, we can talk about.
I love it. You know what, Andy? Like, who cares? That's the greatest part about the Dirty Sports Podcast. I mean, yeah. I put it in our calls section. Some guy hit me up on Venmo, and he's like, "I donated you on Venmo. I want to hear you talk about the Strokes on the Dirty Sports." And I was like, sure, why not? Like, yeah. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to what we talk about on this show. I'll just wax nostalgic about the Strokes.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I listened to that call. We'll get to it later. We can talk about Nick Saban and his COVID, because you alluded to it earlier.
Nick Saban, he's the only coach with however many titles, and he's the only coach with COVID twice.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
I don't know. You know, this begs the question again. Did he have COVID the first time? Was that a false positive? They say that. I shouldn't say they say, because there's a lot of they says, and who they are is always, you know, whatever. But I know for a fact, because my buddy who has a restaurant up there in Tahoe said that the powers that be in California said that every 50 days is about when people could get it again. And therefore, if it had been 50 days since one of his workers, like, last test or something like that, that he could potentially, just because he had it doesn't mean he couldn't have it again. So this guy had to go get tested again, blah, 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 blah. So I don't remember how, like, we're in November, the SEC started, but, like, how long ago was it that Saban had COVID? That was like a month ago, wasn't it?
It hasn't been 50 days.
Yeah. So either he's really good at getting COVID, or the first one was a false positive, or this one's a false positive. But now he supposedly has symptoms, correct?
Yeah, he's 69 years old. You know, he's not in the age range where you want to get that.
Yeah. They're like, Nick, do you know whether or not you have COVID for the second time? Or if one, he's like, I'm not going to talk about it. So quit asking.
Well, you know what I thought about? Remember, Nick Saban is
how many times are you going to get COVID? I don't know. So quit asking.
Joe, if you need a quick refresher, I got to remind you, Nick Saban is on record saying he didn't know who won the Hillary Clinton-Donald Trump election. So right. I kept thinking about that. Like, does Nick Saban even know COVID's a thing? Dude, you didn't know who won 2016 election.
Yeah. Like, so maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just is like walking around. He's like, why is everybody into masks these days? And he just keeps getting it.
Yeah. Like, has no clue.
He just wonders why the Tuscaloosa Applebee's is closed for months on end.
Why are you always taking digs at Applebee's, man? What did Applebee's do?
Applebee's is just the go-to placeholder for like restaurant every shit town has. They put up their local high school paper on the wall like it's decoration. Like, what the fuck? Can't you guys buy dirt? Like, what do they do at those Applebee's? Do they just send them empty frames and then they're like, go to the local library and start stealing some of the periodicals?
You know what, though, man? I haven't had it for a while. I need to go again. But, like, I don't think it's as bad as you think it is.
It's not, like, dude, I'm not, like, I eat shit food all the time. I'm just saying it's, like, one of those places where it's, like, yeah, we got an Applebee's. Feeling good in the neighborhood, treating you good, whatever their slogan is.
But, again, if you're, like, a comic on the road, your go-tos are, like, Applebee's and Chili's.
I know. That's what I'm saying, because everywhere's got them. Look, I'm not against – when I was on the road, it was always – especially on a Sunday, because I didn't want to miss football. I'd fly out late, and I'd be like, I'm just going to go kill the day watching football at Buffalo Wild Wings. Every shitty town's got a Buffalo Wild Wings. I could use Buffalo Wild Wings as this example always, but Buffalo Wild Wings is delicious.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to throw shade at B-dubs.
Well, this is a good segue to discuss our Thanksgiving food like rankings. But before we do that, I have to say, to wrap up the Nick Saban and COVID thing, entering this week, 93, Joe, college football games have been either canceled or postponed. So there
you have it. Is the Alabama game canceled or postponed?
No, they still, because they're playing Auburn. They're still going to play them.
So once again, like, no rhyme or reason to anything.
But 93. It's almost as if maybe
they shouldn't have had a college football season.
They shouldn't have had a season. But college football.
I was told kids would be safer in school.
But I don't even care. Like, to me, it's not even about the safe thing and who dies. Like, I'm past that. I've been past that for a long time. It's not even that. I always say, if they're canceling games, then there is concern, though. So then the argument would be, well, if you're canceling this many for amateurs, it's the same shit. Basically, the bigger picture for me that I want to reiterate for the 1 millionth time, and people are probably like, shut the hell up, Ruther, is that big college football sports or big college sports in general, excuse me, are tied to the universities where they shouldn't. So the academic or academia side shouldn't be, they shouldn't need the revenue from Ohio State football to play on Fox and ESPN. That's all I'm saying.
Andy, listen, I know that you're wading in the shallow end, but when you want to swim out to the deep end here with me, where I've been living for years, which is they shouldn't even fucking be called. They shouldn't have any ties to the university whatsoever. The water's warm. Come on in when you realize that the Alabama Crimson Tide should have nothing to do with the University of Alabama.
It's unbelievable. Because
minor league baseball, you know? The Chattanooga fucking Lookouts have nothing to do with the University of Chattanooga. They're just like, you're a professional baseball player now. Be a baseball player.
They're a Cincinnati Reds affiliate, actually. Double A.
Can you imagine if just to get in the lineup for the Chattanooga Lookouts, you had to like pretend to go to a geology class? like what are you talking about? I'm a professional baseball player. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. And there's guys on the Alabama football team who are like, I've never been in a classroom.
Yeah.
Why do I, what does this have to do with me?
It's ridiculous. You want to talk a little Thanksgiving meal, Prano? Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Joe. We might have even done, have we done this before? I don't know.
I don't know.
If we're going to rank the side dishes.
Okay. Rank them?
Rank them. And I'm going to give you some options.
Can I start with the, can we do it from the bottom up?
Well, I'm going to give you these options and you're going to tell me where they rank.
Okay.
Yeah, bottom up. Mashed potatoes, gravy. I'm going to put those together.
Sure. Gravy's not a side. Gravy goes on a lot of stuff.
But yeah, okay. True. So we'll just say mashed potatoes
and gravy.
Stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
I know your favorite, Joe. Green bean casserole.
The worst.
Dinner rolls. Shame.
Dinner rolls. Like what?
It's a side.
I mean, I love rolls, but.
It's a side.
Okay. I feel like it's an ancillary item, but that's fine.
Okay. Cranberry sauce.
Okay. I'm going.
I went real basic, but I want to see where you're at.
Okay. No sweet potatoes. Just mashed potatoes.
I thought about that. We can. I don't know if you want to substitute or add that. Do either or.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm a sweet potato guy over a mashed potato guy.
Ooh, at Thanksgiving.
I like mashed potatoes. Shout out to my mom. My mom makes the best mashed potatoes of all.
Really?
Like I will put them up there. And I, one of the great things I've ever seen, we all knew her mashed potatoes were good, but we didn't know how they said, but when people would come over and have their mashed potatoes, they would freak out. My friend Doug came over one time and he started eating the mashed potatoes and he goes to my mom. He's like, Mrs. Brano, I got to tell you something. Your mashed potatoes, the fucking best mashed potatoes I've ever had. He's like, I go over to the Mara's house and I tell Mrs. Mara that her mashed potatoes are the best mashed potatoes of all time, but I'm a fucking liar. I lie to her face because every time I say it, I know yours are better. My mom makes incredible mashed potatoes. I don't know how she does it. She whips them. They're so smooth. They're so buttery. So I have a hard time enjoying my mom mashed potatoes. I just think they just don't hold up for me. So I'll go sweet potatoes over mashed potatoes for Thanksgiving. I love stuffing. Stuffing may be like the number I might need. Like if you told me you were going to do Thanksgiving and you were going to give me all these sides and you were going to say there won't be stuffing, I think I'd be the most appalled of all of these. So I'm going to go stuffing one. I love cranberry sauce. I'm going stuffing, cranberry sauce, potatoes, call them sweet potatoes, dinner rolls, I guess. And then defriend the person who brings green bean casserole. What kind of fucking asshole are you?
I disagree. I disagree.
Here's the thing. Just make green beans. Green beans are delicious.
Green bean casserole is better.
Why do we have to put them in? What is even in there with it?
I don't know. Breadcrumbs?
I don't want to know.
What? Look,
you took a good item and then you just made them soft.
I disagree.
And weird.
I think
and covered them in like, is that breadcrumbs on top?
Look, I disagree. I think green bean casserole is way better than regular green beans are lame in my opinion.
What? They're beans.
Man, I'm not the biggest fan.
I'll take green beans over green bean casserole the whole day.
I like putting my green beans in shit. Like when I cook, I'll mix my green beans up with like a veggie medley or something. Stir fry, okay. You know? Much better. I don't like the green beans solo.
Yeah, like listen, the casserole is Garfunkel for me. Paul Simon went on to have a fantastic career where he was still the songwriter, he was still the singer. I don't need Art Garfunkel's wetness. And is that breadcrumbs? Is that fried onions? Like I don't know. It's brown. It's soupy. It's mushy. You've really taken the green beans, in my opinion, and ruined them the best you could.
These are some interesting takes, Joe, and cranberry like. Cranberry sauce.
I love me. I'll even take the sliced jellified cranberry.
Oh,
this really. There's no use for cranberry sauce outside of the Thanksgiving meal, but when you need it there, it's almost like that palate cleansing, coolness, fruity sweetness. Like it's almost like the ginger for a sushi.
Dude, I can't stand cranberry sauce.
Wow.
I mean, our rankings, I don't eat it.
I mean, especially on the turkey, the leftover sandwich. Yeah, first thing you do is you spread that cranberry sauce on the bread.
Get out of here with that, man.
Spread that cranberry sauce on the bed, on the bread.
I'm going to go.
Gravy and turkey stuffing. Little sweet potato on the bottom of the bread.
Mashed potatoes.
One. Okay, we're going to have to get you. I might have to have my mom ship you some mashed potatoes just so you get your mind blown.
I would love that. Two, stuffing.
Okay.
Three, green bean casserole.
Wild.
Yeah.
Basically, let me give you your food ranking equivalent in sports. You're going, okay, top five quarterbacks of all time. You're like Aaron Rodgers, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, and let's see, I'm going to go with Jay Cutler. I'm like, wait, how did he sneak in there?
You just called.
Jay Cutler, green bean casserole is the Jay Cutler of side dishes.
Jay Cutler's green bean casserole? Like, yeah. No way. No way. That's offensive.
Like, for some reason, he's always there. People bring him up, and you're like, what?
And dinner rolls are great, man. Dinner rolls, you need that.
Listen, I'm fine with having a roll. Yeah, you dunk it in all the stuff.
Okay. On to dessert.
Okay.
Because to me, there's not even an answer here. Like, it's not even like competition here. Pumpkin. Or apple pie.
That's you're saying that those are the only two we have to talk about?
Yeah, I'm saying pumpkin pie with whipped cream for Thanksgiving all day, every day.
Yeah, I'm a pumpkin pie. I love pumpkin pie. I actually don't like apple pie generally.
Really?
I'll take 10 pies over apple pie. Cherry pie, blueberry pie, pecan pie, key lime pie, cheesecake. Give me them all.
Cream pie, baby.
Yeah, chocolate cream pie. Dude, chocolate cream pie is delicious.
It is.
Banana cream pie. I put all of those ahead of apple pie for me. I don't like apple pie. I like to eat a crisp. You know what? It's very similar to the green bean casserole. I'll eat a crisp apple all day. Once you soften it up, it's like, what am I, a baby? Why am I getting fed baby food?
These are.
Just eat a green bean.
There's some interesting takes coming out, Brandon. Really?
I just don't need things made all soft and gushy. What is this? You know, it's like a Cardi B remix. Oh, I need God. My green beans wet and gushy. Make them hot, make them drop with this green bean mushy.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I can't, like, her boobs ruined everything for me. Yeah. Like, no joke.
Honestly, like, her boobs look like when everybody's gone to town on the green bean casserole. It's just what's left. It's like a mushiness.
Like.
I still haven't really even seen it. I just know it's going around.
If I hear the name Cardi B or if her song comes on, I've never had anything ruined in my life like this. I'm not exaggerating. Like, I liked a fair amount of her songs. When I hear her songs or her name or see her on social media, I think, oh, dude, it's like traumatizing. Like, yeah. I mean, I'd say in 2020, the most traumatizing thing that happened to me was seeing Cardi B's boobs.
Get a bucket and a mop for that green bean casserole.
Bruno, are you even getting my great joke right there?
I am.
No love. No love for it.
I'm letting you, when you riff, I just let you do your thing and I try to stay out of the way.
I feel you. That's not true, but that's all right, Joe. Give me a crazy Thanksgiving story, and we'll wrap up Thanksgiving time.
Let me think. Crazy thing. Oh, okay.
Especially with your brothers.
Here's one that I just thought of it, and it's from that night of that I remember watching the Giants-Broncos Thursday night game. And I thought about it today when I went to the supermarket. So going over to Laz's, where he asked me to bring a couple things. One thing he was like, you know, we're going to do some charcuterie, so, like, bring over, like, some little meats or cheeses or whatever. And I went to Ralph's here, and I got a block of Jarlsberg cheese, Swiss cheese. Do you know Jarlsberg?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got a block. I got the biggest block that they had there. They had all the blocks at at Rouse were about the same size, and it was like I don't know, $5.50 worth of cheese or whatever. Like, not that big a block. Like, I don't know, 2/3 of a pound or something like that. For some reason, they don't have bigger cheese. So, when growing up, the Jarlsberg was a, like, on our charcuterie board, it was a big hit. We all love it. It's a family thing. My aunt and uncle would put it out there. We'd all go to town on the cheese. They'd get a block, like, they'd get like a 2.5 pound block of Jarlsberg, you know? So I go to my brother's when we all grow up, and it's probably 2006 or 2007 or whenever, because I remember there was a Thursday night football game. We're the Jarlsberg for some reason didn't make it out like pregame. So we do the whole thing. We do dinner. We're hanging out. We're watching the Sunday night football game. And I go in to get a snack. And I was like, yo, is it cool if we bust open the Jarlsberg? Like, we didn't eat the Jarlsberg. Can we bust open? Mikey goes, yeah, sure. So I'm literally cutting the first like little sliver off. And I was like, yo, I could eat. I was definitely stoned. I was like, yo, I could eat this whole block of Jarlsberg. No. And Mikey goes,
no.
If you can eat that whole block of Jarlsberg, don't even cut it. Like, just go to town. And I literally took it and sat there, stoned out of my fucking brain, watching the Giants play the Broncos and eating Jarlsberg like it was an apple.
No.
And I got so sick to my stomach.
Oh.
I ate like 2.5 pounds of cheese. Just like
no crackers with it?
No, just eating it. Just biting it off of, just holding it.
That's
holding
savage.
It by the end. Holding it by the wax and just eating it like a gigantic mouse.
You must have just yacked everywhere.
I didn't, but I definitely felt like a clogging of my veins that I have felt to this day. Like, that was the day that they got clogged. And one day when I die early of a heart attack, I will remember that moment.
Take me through that.
I'll be like 55 dying early. I'll be like, the Jarlsberg.
Take me through that.
I shouldn't eat 2.5 pounds of cheese.
Tell me about that bowel movement.
I don't remember, but I think it came out basically in the same shape. It just came out like a little.
I would picture you'd be all clogged up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was clogged up for. I don't think I went to the bathroom the next day. I think I went to the bathroom like 3 or 4 days later.
Oh. I think my most ridiculous Thanksgiving was my first one living in Las Vegas when I was a teacher at the Clark County School District. I think I shared this on Denton Report once. I get so lit. We go from my buddies, and it's my first West Coast Thanksgiving, right? We go from my buddies to the casino. We go to. God, I forget the casino in Summerlin. Anyway, we go to the casino and we go to a nightclub. Like, this is like the most Vegas shit. It's just locals. Get lit. We go to like an Irish pub, go to the nightclub. I basically get thrown out of casino. I'm like classic Ruther, belligerent.
This is the night before Thanksgiving.
This is the night of Thanksgiving.
Night of Thanksgiving. Okay.
I'm so drunk. Like, we basically get thrown out of the nightclub, thrown out of casino. I can't even function to the point where, like, I also can't find my car, which, thank God, like, no way should I have been driving. Like, security guard, I keep running into her in the parking lot. She's like, dude, get out of here. Like, I'm like, I'm looking for my car. She's like, what? I wander kind of off a little into the desert area, and it's cold, and I'm so tired, though, and I, like, lay down, like,
This is, like, literally the hangover.
Dude. I'm telling you, this used to be my life.
You're calling Walt in the middle of the night, like, we fucked up. Dad, we fucked up.
Dude, get this. So I lay down, and I'll never forget, I was wearing like a Reebok jacket, and I'm like this, and it's cold, but I'm so tired, and I'm so drunk, and I'm just exhausted from, you know, Thanksgiving. You know how you go to bed early? And I kind of lean up on some rock. Like, I'm not totally in the desert, but I'm kind of out there. And no,
I love lie. Mine is I ate 2 pounds of cheese, and yours is you slept in the desert like an iguana.
dude, you're not going to believe this shit. A fucking coyote comes up.
Jesus.
And is like eyeing me like, I don't know, 25 yards away. And I'm like, kind of like, yo, this motherfucker is prime. And I get up and I basically take off And I just start heading. I don't even know what direction. I had nowhere to go. I just kept walking and walking and walking. And again, this is pre-Uber, guys. This is pre-Lyft, no rideshare apps. Finally, I got a taxi to pick me up at a gas station. At this point, it was like 5 a.m. She's like, honey, what is going on? Like, she like felt bad for me. I was like, I got to go. Like, I got to get home. And she's like, I got to take somebody to the airport first. Just sleep in the back. And I literally fell asleep in the back of her cab. She picked somebody else up who sat in the front. She then took them to the airport. She finally, like, I wake up. It's like 7 a.m. She's taking me to my apartment. And she couldn't get over. She's like, what do you do out here? I was like, I'm a high school English teacher.
Yeah.
Like, the look on her face, like, this fucking guy's in charge of our kids? This degenerate?
You're like, thank you so much for bringing me home. You want to come inside for some green bean casserole?
It was one of those. Like, we're like, I could not stop thanking her, like, over tipping her. And just like, you saved my life. Like, a coyote was going to attack me tonight. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You were so drunk. You were Maddie Goldberg. Oh, this coyote. Is a coyote going to attack me? My favorite coyote of all time is definitely Jeremy Roenick, but after that is definitely the one that didn't eat me in Vegas.
I thought you were going to say my favorite coyote is Pablo, or just name some Mexican, like, random dude's name.
Those are coyotes. This is coyotes.
Well, Joe, all this talk of Thanksgiving and food is got me thinking how hungry I am tonight. Luckily, I got some fresh Butcher Box sitting right in the freezer. Mm. They're so great, guys. Dirty Sports is brought to you this episode by our friends at Butcher Box. I love them because it's always so hard to find 100% grass-fed, finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and wild salmon, which I love. I'm so big. Like, I don't do the farm stuff, the wild salmon. They have all that stuff available on ButcherBox, who believes everyone deserves highly quality, humanely sourced meat. ButcherBox couldn't be easier. Sign up, select your box, and they ship it right to your door every month. And when you sign up now, you get their steak sampler with 6 grass-fed, grass-finished steaks, because the best steak night is free steak night. Guys, if you need to get some high quality meat and you don't want to leave your house, which I know a lot of you guys don't, just go through ButcherBox. It's great. There's no added antibiotics or hormones ever. Each box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individuals. For a limited time, new members get 6 free grass-fed, grass-finished steaks when they go to butcherbox.com/dirty. That's 2 New York strips and 4 top sirloins added to your first box for free.
Oh, I love it.
Act quickly. This offer is only good through Cyber Monday, so it ends next Monday. That's 6 grass-fed, grass-finished steaks for free in your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/dirty. That's butcherbox.com/dirty. Joe, I got to just pat my own back. I mean, I'm baked out of my mind, and I just flew through that ad read with.
I know. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I was in the zone.
I know you were.
Kind of like me playing Galaga yesterday. One game, set the new high score, and was like, I'm done turning it off.
It's your own arcade. You're like, I beat myself. Do you think, like, have you done any research, or your high scores, like, pretty high scores?
No.
Like, have you like Googled like the highest score in Galilee history?
I haven't, and it's not even close, because you're going to laugh when you hear it. It's why I know it's not even close. My high score is 60,000 right now.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely got to be in the hundreds of thousands.
It's probably millions.
Yeah.
I do own the top 5 scores.
Do you put yourself in there? You put your initials?
You have 3 initials, but I just write RUG.
There you go.
You know, the my brother Brad's, he's got twins, and they just turned 9. They're very discouraged, because all they want is to be the gal at the top 5. And I told them, guys, next time I make it, I'll put one of your initials. And they said, that wouldn't be fair. I said,
no, that would not be fair.
I said, you guys have learned. That's good. You're learning at a young age. Prano, we have some new NBA signings we got to get to.
Ooh, let's go. I'm wondering if I missed something.
I mean, no new ones, but like re-signing with the team, I should say.
Hit me.
Brandon Ingram, my guy who took that Ruther curse all the way to the bank, Joe Prano. Five years.
I actually didn't hear about this.
Brandon Ingram re-signs with the Pelicans for 5 years, $158 million.
Whoa. 5 years, 158. It's 30 mil plus a year.
Yeah. He is getting
NBA contracts are wild.
They are wild.
Remember when they like capped him and they stopped doing like the – like they didn't have the KG like 10-year franchise deal anymore?
Yeah.
I feel like the max thing is just out of control though. Like remember when the max was like 25 million? How's the max like so goddamn high now? I mean, good for these guys getting their money, but.
Yeah, man, getting paid. Another one getting some serious money is Bam Adebayo. 163 mil for the Heat to re-sign him.
Yeah, kind of crazy. Both those guys, it's, you know, like both fantastic players, both certainly deserving of high pay. But it just, you know, again, it's to me, it's more of a ballooning of the numbers than anything. Like the idea that Bam Adebayo is a gets $30 million a year to do his job. I mean, he's young. He's great. He's the, you know, certainly one of the pillars of that, the future of that squad. But damn, it's a lot of money.
I've been reading
green bean casserole.
Oh, dude, how many green bean casseroles can you buy with that? You can eat that shit for years. They're going to make a big push from what I'm reading for Giannis. The Heat are.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen any of this stuff, but I was – shout out to Connor Ross, Dirtball Connor Ross, who gave us athletic subscriptions. I was reading on there. You know, Pat Riley's good, man. He's kind of setting these things in place to lure him in of like, hey, you know, we got Bam here locked up. We got Jimmy Butler. Obviously, they got the young guys. They got Hero. They re-signed Dragic, right? They're going to really kind of lay out the groundwork to possibly get Giannis there, but obviously a lot of teams will.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, there'll be cap constrictions. There'll be contender, you know, he'll obviously want to go to a contender and more often than not, these guys want to go someplace where the lifestyle is good. You know, I'm sure there's not as many Applebee's in the Miami area as there are in the Milwaukee area, but I bet you there's better Greek restaurants.
Yeah. But, you know, you just referenced
no
cheese
state
earlier.
Income tax.
Cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
The no state in, I mean, when you start making that kind of money, I don't think people really understand that.
What's interesting is, something to remember about the NBA guys. I don't know if you know this, but like basically it'll be the wherever you play, it's just those 41 games. You get taxed for your game pay from every state you play in.
That's right.
So, but look, when you're getting taxed
God,
that much
suck to be that guy's accountant.
Yeah. When you get to a certain amount of money, it's all, you know, it's certainly a nice tax break.
I know, but like the idea of just doing whatever you want with, you know, an extra 5-10 million, you can do things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd buy this whole neighborhood. Like, I don't know what I'd do if I had that kind of money. I'd do crazy things though. Like stupid things. Like stupid things that I would enjoy that nobody else would.
Well, let's just do it. What's the first? So tomorrow morning, you wake up, you go to the ATM to get out some dough. You know, you're going to give out, you know, Thanksgiving cards to your nieces and nephews or whatever. And in there, your bank account is $10 million richer. What's very first thing you do?
Strip club. No, I'm kidding.
By the way, that's why a lot of these guys moved to fucking Miami over Milwaukee too.
Yeah. I heard Tootsie's. Do you know about Tootsie's down there?
Where is that? In Miami?
Oh yeah.
No, I haven't heard of
that. Oh, I got stories from friends.
I've been to a couple places in Florida, especially in Tampa when my buddy was playing for the Tampa Yankees, but
Tootsie's was an Aaron Hernandez frequent spot.
Got it.
That was mentioned. All those guys. That's a $500 will get you one of the finest Cuban girls, whatever you want.
Yes, Cuban B.
I don't know, Joe. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head what I would do because I'm not a big car guy. It'd be a house.
My girlfriend is apparently watching our podcast live and said, who gives out Thanksgiving cards? I don't know. I was just trying to come up with a reason for you to go to the ATM tomorrow morning.
You know what? I'm gonna correct her on that because tonight I wrote some cards to my brothers.
See, Andy Ruther is a big card guy. I'm a huge aspect. You know that. Always will be.
I'm telling them I'm thankful for them and writing nice things because obviously it's been a very difficult year for my family, but I still have my brothers. So I'm writing them handwritten. I'm thanking you guys. So yeah. And I already know what's going to happen is I'm going to show up and I have little small gifts for each of them too.
Small and they're gonna, gifts.
Yeah. And they're going to say, dude, this is so confusing. It's your birthday and it's Thanksgiving and you're bringing us cards and gifts.
Big card guy, Andy Ruther.
Am I the biggest card guy you've ever met?
For sure. Like my grandmother.
I love writing cards.
I know you do.
But how not, you know how good, like this is a thing I want to put out to the dirt balls.
Actually. Well, this also, this is something I've learned just in the last couple of weeks about you is that there's a big, like, I think this is a Ruther family tradition. There's a lot of like paper goods nostalgia over, I mean, you're busting out letters from Connie Mack and newspapers. Like you guys have a whole periodical section of the Ruther basement. It's like, you know, there's a dehumidifier in there so that the Cincinnati Reds World Championship papers don't get, you know, weathered.
Yeah, man, that's a great point. I guess we are big on that. But a handwritten letter, I mean, especially like when I've gotten some of the sweetest, nicest things written, you know, after my parents passed away, it's just like that stuff is powerful, man. I mean, it's not as powerful as a $100 gift card to Applebee's, but you know,
yeah,
it's right up there. Like, I love that stuff. You know me.
So $10 million in your bank account, strip club, and then?
No, I would get a house.
You have a house?
Yeah, I don't own it though.
But you would get rid of the house you're currently in? Get a second house? Man, so quick to abandon the old Ruther homestead.
No, I would never abandon this. My family's had this house since 1979. I'm not saying I would abandon this house. Maybe I buy this house. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I move somewhere else. I don't know.
Pool in the backyard?
It's a good backyard for a pool. But that's also a lot of responsibility. You know,
what responsibility is it?
Well, because, you know, I got a bunch of young kids in my family and...
You know, so you got $10 million, put up a fence, hire a lifeguard. Jesus Christ, it's not a lot of responsibility. Everybody's got a life vest.
Is this being taxed?
Your $10 million?
Yeah.
No, free $10 million.
Well, and the other thing I would do, and obviously you couldn't do right now because of COVID.
This guy's like, well, I mean, well, let's talk about travel. If I'm getting taxes or not.
Travel.
Okay.
That'd be a huge thing for me, would travel the world. Peace out, Dirty Sports. Bye.
You could pay a replacement.
What are you doing with $10 million?
It's a great question. $10 million arrives tomorrow. I think, honestly, I know this seems like a lame answer, but the first thing I'm probably doing, very first before myself, I'm probably going and handing out cash to a lot of loved ones. I'm just showing up Scrooge McDuck style, like canvas sacks with the money sign spray painted on the outside. They're like, what is this? I'm like, look, it's 600 grand in gold coins. Merry Thanksgiving.
I like it. I think that's great. But like, how much are you giving each person is the question.
Yeah. I mean, I would, here's what I would do. I would make a list of
check
people.
Twice.
I'd make a list of people that like, I thought really deserved it, you know, that were close to me and important. And then I would think about a number that I was okay parting with out of the total. And then I'd do the division, you know?
I gotcha.
Let's say I'm like, okay, $10 million cash free. I'm going to keep 6 million. I got 4 million to play with. You know, I divide that by what? 10 people. Everybody's getting a gift, 400 grand.
You're going to get 400 grand?
Dude, Clooney just gave out $1 million to like 13 friends.
I saw that. George Clooney has way more than $10 million.
I know. George Clooney's not as charitable as me.
Okay. I'm not following that. I'm not following you. I'm just like, wow.
And then, but here's the thing. Then after that, then I can spend it on myself carefree because I feel like I've already done good with it.
Yeah. What are you doing though?
Definitely getting a six pack in Miller Lite.
That's a great plug right there, Joe Prano. That's a professional plug right there. That's how it's done, people.
Might even get a kegerator put in and start buying drafts.
You know what I'm doing? I'm giving that money to buy Joe Burrow a new knee.
Oof. I don't know if $10 million is enough.
Since last Monday's show, it was revealed Burrow tore his ACL, MCL, and had other structural damage in his knee. Good job.
Sounds like there's a patella issue. They're saying a year. 9 months to a year. That there's a chance he's not able to start next year. That sucks.
Well, it's what you get when you have a cheap owner and you have bad decisions and a really bad run organization.
It's terrible.
And if I can say something real quick to Cincinnati Bengals fans out there, guys, no one's forcing you to root for the team. No one's forcing you to buy Bengals merchandise to when it's available, see them. I know people will always say, hey, Ruther, but I don't have any other team. Hey, man, I live here with you now, too. I'm in Cincinnati. I'm not rooting for them. I'm not going to games. I refuse to. So join me, and I'm going to probably maybe lead a revolution. And I'm not joking. I'm serious about this. Now that I'm a resident of Hamilton County, Cincinnati, Ohio, I'm going to lead an anti-Mike Brown Cincinnati Bengals revolution. Starts with one man, Joe Prano. And I think I'm the man for the job.
I support you doing it.
Yeah. Let's get this guy to get rid of the organization.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks for Joe Burrow. I just hope, you know, I just hope he gets healthy. Forget, like, honestly, if I were him, I'd put football next year out of my mind.
I agree.
And just try to get healthy. Try to get back as soon as you can. I'm sure he will. He's older than, you know, most rookies that come out and start, but like, I hope he's back on the field ASAP. It's fun to watch. It was fun, the thought of him turning around the Bengals. They didn't win a lot of games this year, but you could see it starting. It definitely had shades of an old school first overall draft pick. Lots of yards, lots of, you know, sacks, lots of mistakes. You know, it felt like a Peyton Manning's first year.
Yeah.
And it was exciting, and I wish him well. As a guy who's literally still recovering from a knee injury in January, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Well, it just sucks because, you know, Burrow's mobility might be affected, and that was such a key component of him as a quarterback, avoiding sacks or running with his legs. You know, he's athletic as hell. And yeah. You just hate to see him limited in any capacity, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, like 24, 25 years old. So, on a better note, they did release the 25 NFL finalists for the Hall of Fame this year.
And great.
You just mentioned him. Peyton Manning is one of those finalists, Joe Prano.
First ballot, for sure. I love Peyton. I've grown to love him even more over the last few years. I mean, obviously, he was a Hall of Famer the whole time from a statistical standpoint, but like, here in my respect, those the two Super Bowl runs obviously he didn't win both, but the two Super Bowl runs with the Broncos on, you know, a crippled body was so impressive to me. I don't think there's been a more cerebral quarterback in the history of the game. I think he changed the way the game will be played from the quarterback position, from a, you know, a line call standpoint, an audible standpoint. We see it all now. So all the guys who have come in post Peyton Manning that have like taken some of the things he did and tried to do what he did or improve upon what he did from the you know, fuck the hard counts, even the line audibles, the talking, all that stuff. I mean, so impressive. Yeah. I love Peyton Manning. Good for Peyton Manning. He's first ballot, my book. Who else?
So I'm going to ask you, if this guy's first ballot is Charles Woodson.
I think he is. Absolutely. I think he is from a multiple position standpoint.
You want to hear some crazy numbers on him real quick?
Yeah.
13 defensive touchdowns, most all time. 11 pick sixes, second most of all time. One of only three players in NFL history to have 25 INTs with two different franchises. Former Defensive Player of the Year, three-time first-team All-Pro, all-team decades, and he got that chip with the Packers.
Yeah. To me, All-Pro, because they only do one guy, is you know, so big, and all-decade teams are so big. Defensive Player of the Year. If you have a Defensive Player of the Year and you have a decade run of being good, to me, you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree on him. Now, what about Calvin Johnson? He obviously retired early.
I think he's a Hall of Famer the same way that Barry Sanders is a Hall of Famer, the same way, like, yes, he decided to leave. I don't love it, but obviously, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Who wants to get hurt? Who wants to go through stuff playing for that Lions franchise? But to me, it's how great were you when you played? And he wasn't missing games like here and there, like all the time. It's not like he was like great whenever he was on the field. Like, he was arguably the best receiver in football for, I don't know, what would you say, 4 or 5 consecutive years?
Sure.
He has the most receiving yards in a season still?
He does.
Yeah. To me, Calvin Johnson's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree. Do you want me to rapid fire some of these guys?
Yeah.
Torrey Holt. Nah, he's just on that cusp.
Torrey Holt, like, Isaac Bruce isn't in, or is Isaac Bruce in? And like,
he finally got in.
Yeah. I'm gonna say no on Torrey Holt. Let's go rapid fire. We'll go no, yes, no.
All right. Hines Ward, no.
No, I don't think so.
Reggie Wayne.
I don't know what his numbers look like. They're probably pretty crazy.
He's 10th all-time in receptions, 10th all-time in receiving yards.
I guess the top 10 receivers of all time got to be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. It's tough to not put him in there.
Do you deduct it all for the fact that he played with Peyton Manning and that, like, I'd be the 17th leading receiver of all time if I played Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
I'm going to say borderline yes. I just think if you're top 10, how are you not in?
Yeah. Let me do a couple more. Here's an interesting – because I don't want to do all 25 of these guys, but here's an interesting one which I was reading based on Brian Urlacher getting in. They're saying his numbers stack up, and he has to if Urlacher got it. Zach Thomas.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought their numbers would stack up, but.
So I guess they do. And Thomas, listen to this. Thomas was an all-decade team in the 2000s. Thomas played from 96 to 2007 with the Dolphins and then 1 year with the Cowboys at the end. But so he basically did 11 years with the Dolphins. And yeah, again, this was just something I read saying, look, man, if you're going to put Urlacher in, they're pretty similar for numbers.
My gut says no, but I hear that argument.
Yeah. John Lynch.
I think he is, right? For safety position.
Two-time first-team All-Pro.
Yeah. I feel like when John Lynch played, people were like, future Hall of Famer John Lynch. Like, it was always one of the best safeties in the league.
Yeah. Jared Allen's another interesting one. I didn't realize
he
had that many
sacks. All times in sacks.
Let me pull it up. But, like, he had a really good career.
Yeah.
Jared Allen, all time in sacks. This is an old one. Let me get a new one. Sacks, which has only been computed since 1982. Right. He's 12th all time.
I was going to say, if he's top 10, I'll give it to him, but he's 12th. I'm going to say borderline, no.
Jared Allen's 12th all time. The other thing's going for him, he's got some interesting ones. He has, he's tied for the most time all safeties.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, Joe, if we're going to talk first team all pro, which is so hard, as you said, I mean,
yeah,
you know, some of these guys only, like Charles Woodson had it three times in his career. Jared Allen was four-time first team all pro.
Two corners and two safeties. I assume, what, two defensive tackles? Three defensive tackles? He was a D end more, like.
Yeah, he's a D end.
How many defensive linemen do they go? I don't know. I'm going to say no, but look, they're all finalists for a reason.
What about Rondé Barber? Here's another interesting one. Listen to this. He's the only player in NFL history with 40 picks and 25 sacks. That's kind of an interesting stat. He was also all-decade team.
Wow.
Like he was that good.
Yeah. Man, it's hard. It's like when you read everybody's stats, like, I'm going to say no again.
Yeah.
Only because the thing is, that's like one of those, like, the most base hits at night on the road. I mean, I get that it's not quite that specific, but if that's what they're leading with.
Yeah, and look, there's some other ones, but I don't want to go over all these guys. But those are ones that
Give me five in a row. We'll just go yes, no, yes, no.
Eric Allen.
No.
Cornelius Bennett. Remember him?
No. Yes, I remember him. No, he's not in.
Tony Boselli.
Feels like a yes, but I'm going to say no.
Now, Alan Faneca, six-time first-team All-Pro.
A lot. I'll go yeah.
Sam Mills, no.
Mr. Panther? I'm going to go yeah. No.
Well, he played for the Saints, the majority. Richard Seymour, yeah. No.
I know, but I think Sam Mills was like, what, the Panthers' like first expansion pick or something like that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think he was like, but yeah. Who's the next one?
This is one that I've seen people debate because they say if special teams is a third of the game, and he's, you know, some have argued he's the best special teams player of all time, Steve Tasker.
If there's a special teams wing, put him in. I don't know if it's a third of the game, right? Like, there's not equal amounts of offense, defense, and special teams plays. And if there are, you're going three and out a lot.
O.J. Simpson's Twitter feed. That's a top 25 finalist. Whatever happened to that?
I don't know. I didn't follow him. Felt weird following a known murderer.
No, you follow probably many known murderers, don't you?
I don't know. Do I?
Any politicians?
No, I don't think I follow any politicians.
Jeffrey Epstein?
Does he have a Twitter?
Did he kill anybody?
I don't think so.
No, he doesn't have a Twitter. We've all forgotten about him. I mean, I tweeted that the other day. We've all forgotten about him.
About Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, we've all forgotten about him.
He's dead.
Yeah, but I'm saying we've all forgotten how they covered it up.
What a hot take, Andy Ruther. Gone but not forgotten, Jeffrey Epstein.
All right, you want
to
get...
Let's take a moment to break down Andy Ruther's hot feeds. Green bean casserole, and let's remember Jeffrey Epstein.
Let's not forget.
Give the man his props.
I'm just saying. Anybody?
Just that young pussy.
I'm just saying, you know, got trafficked underage girls to numerous politicians on both sides of the aisle, celebrities, and we've all just...
Both sides. Pedophiles on both sides.
Yeah, we've all just forgotten. All just magically forgotten. Don't forget, people. Don't let them distract you. All right, let's get to our Week 12 NFL preview. And as always...
I hear my girlfriend reacting because she's watching the show, and I don't know how much of a delay we're on, so I don't know what she's laughing at, what she's not. It's throwing off my game.
Is it?
Yeah.
And she popped into the comment section on YouTube. She's all about it.
It's funny because the other day I went to get a haircut, and she goes, "Are you going to get a haircut? Because some guy put in the comments, what's up with your hair?" And I was like, "No, I don't read the comments."
It could have been me. Who knows? Week 12 NFL is finally here. Wow, we're already to this point in the season. As always, Joe, this week's picks will be presented by our friends at Game Theory Picks, who provide profitable sports betting advice at an affordable price. They have subscription options for weekly, monthly, and yearly. Guys, since sports returned in July, Game Theory clients have profited for 5 straight months. A $50 per play better is up over $1,900. And Joe, get this. They're offering a Black Friday deal. I know everybody likes hearing that. You don't even have to leave your house because you can order it online. It's Black Friday time, and Game Theory is making it easier than ever to join their team. Now until Monday, any dirtball can get their first 30 days of Game Theory picks for just $30. This includes plays from every single sport. So if you want to put your bets down and whatever you guys do when you gamble, that's a terrible segue, but if you want to gamble,
place your wagers,
if you want to place your wagers,
whatever you do,
on like soccer and other shit that I don't watch but you might watch, Game Theory has you covered. This includes plays from every sport, like I just said. Just go visit GameTheoryPicks.com and use promo code BLACKFRIDAY. It's one word. Cash in on this deal now. Once again, GameTheoryPicks.com. Drop promo code BLACKFRIDAY. Take advantage of this great deal of $30 for 30 days. Okay, Brano, you want to do it?
Let's do it.
Game one is going to be 12:30 Eastern time tomorrow. The Texans and Lions in Detroit. Houston is a 3-point favorite. Wow. Lions are at that point of their season.
I stupidly thought the Lions would compete last week. The Lions didn't compete last week. The Lions are two totally fucking different teams at home and on the road. What I'm going to try to do here is not be swayed by the bad taste in my mouth the Lions left. I think the Lions could win the game. They're used to playing on Thanksgiving. It's a home game. I'm going with the Lions. Yeah. I also have no faith whatsoever in the Texans.
I agree. Texans looked good last week against Tom Brady. I'm sorry. Man, my head's already still there. Against the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go Lions. Come back. Bounce back game for them. All right, the other awful game of the week is Washington at Dallas, where Dallas is also a 3-point favorite. Hey, man, they played well last week, well enough to win. Andy Dalton is again a formidable backup. But I'm going to go Redskins.
What's the spread?
3.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the football team formerly known as the Redskins, just based on we're due for a wacky wild one, right? Thanksgiving games, I feel like, are always kind of close. Could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, the Raiders travel to Atlanta.
Let me ask you something, since we just talked about the Washington football team and the Cowboys with the returning Andy Dalton. Who wins the NFC East?
I think I saw your Giants are the favorites right now.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong. Win probability because their schedule's easier.
Right. Their schedule, the Eagles schedule gets devastating.
Yeah, that's why.
The Washington football team, I think, is considered still from a talent stand base to be like probably the least talented. And then the Cowboys obviously have Dalton back, but have not certainly played up to their potential. I believe the Giants and the Cowboys play on week 17. Be fun for that to come down to the whole season.
God, the winner of that division is going to have 6 wins. It's disgusting.
Absolutely correct.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I agree. And beat the Tom Brady Buccaneers in New Jersey. Let's go!
Wow. Wow. Prano predicts. All right. The Raiders travel to Atlanta. They are 3-point favorites against the Falcons.
I love the Raiders. I'm gonna say the Raiders, I gotta say, somebody's gotta do the math for me, but the West East teams have fucking struggled this year, if my calculations are anything. Really makes me not want to do it.
The Rams didn't on Monday.
Right. But I think the Raiders are a good football team.
They are.
And I don't think the Falcons are a good football team.
But do not ask John Gruden what his favorite part of Thanksgiving is, his favorite dish.
Why?
Somebody asked him that today, and he's like, really, are you giving me this question? Like, this is the type of shit I'm getting asked.
Oh, he's pissed just about the question?
Yeah, and then he brought up, like, I'm just lucky I have a place to eat after losing to Kansas City. I'm like, what? And then, like, I saw the comments on Twitter, like, they were like, wait, was his wife going to lock him out because they lost to the Chiefs?
It's like I almost had to go 2 doors down and sleep at Derek Carr's house, because I'll tell you what, one thing I like about Derek Carr, he keeps a guest bedroom ready. This guy's ready to play on Sundays, and he's ready to have guests over. I visited him one time. I snuck away. I went upstairs to the guest bedroom. A lot of single package small soaps. This guy's ready to host guests. I'm telling you. Fresh towels in the bathroom. This guy's a grinder. And I'll tell you what, Mrs. Carr's a grinder too. Mrs. Carr's grinding that guest bedroom. Fluffy pillows, linens on the bed. This guy's ready to go. He's prepared to play on Sundays. He's prepared to host home games, if you know what I mean. Now, listen, I don't want to be talking about Thanksgiving. You're asking me about Thanksgiving. We're preparing to play the Falcons, and you're talking to me about Thanksgiving. Now, if we're talking about dessert, that's a different story, because that one's easy. I got my wife every year. Bakes a very special dessert. Spider 2Y banana cream pie. Her signature dish. We're working on that licensing deal so that you'll get it in the frozen section of your local Kroger's. Just a frost. Mrs. Gruden's Spider 2Y banana cream pie. Because I'll tell you what, Mrs. is a grinder too.
Amazing. So you're gonna go with the Raiders.
The Raiders.
I'm gonna follow your lead on that. I think they are a good team, and I think they know how tough it's gonna be to make the playoffs, and they're gonna have to win. All right, Joe, you just talked west to east. We got another big one. Chargers travel to Buffalo. They're 5.5-point dogs in upstate.
Ooh, five and a half is big. 5.5 is big.
Yeah.
Buffalo's a little under the radar these days. I think Buffalo, they have a bye last week.
They did.
And before that, a tough L. I'm going to go with the Bills off a bye to have a bounce back week.
Yeah.
Bills win and cover. Touchdown game.
I'm going to go opposite. I'll go Chargers.
They blow a lead or they don't close late?
Chargers cover.
I like it.
Your G-Men host the Ryan Finley-led Cincinnati Bengals.
Nope, I don't think he's starting.
Oh, yeah, it's Allen.
Yeah. Jared Allen?
Yeah, he's coming out in his camo.
He's got to postpone that Hall of Fame push. He's coming out. You've seen Carson Wentz with the digi-camo sleeve. He's back. Yeehaw!
Actually, this Allen who's playing for the Bengals, he played some games for you guys.
Did he?
Yeah. Right?
I don't remember. He certainly didn't start any games for us.
Yeah, Brandon Allen. You sure?
Never seen him before.
Played at Arkansas? I don't fucking know. He gives a shit.
Yeah. I don't like the Giants being that big of a favorite. I don't like
by the way, Giants. Sorry, let me hop in here. I'm completely wrong. Yeah. I knew he started games, the Broncos. He started 3 games for the Broncos last year.
Got it. I was like Eli Manning played every single football game for that one day that Geno
Jesus.
Played.
Yeah.
I don't like the Giants being that big of a favorite. I don't even like the Giants. I don't like the Giants having a game that they're supposed to win at this point. I think it's kind of reckless to say any NFC East team is supposed to win. I just think that Burrow loss is just devastating. I'll take the Giants to cover, even though I
agree.
Like
I think that the Burrow loss is not only devastating, I think they're just, as a team, completely lost, and they've given up. Giants win and cover. All right, another rematch they just played a couple weeks ago. This might be for the division when all is said and done. Tennessee heads to Indy. Indy's 3-point favorites.
I'll take Tennessee to win the game. I know that seems crazy after a couple weeks ago, the Colts stick it to them, and the great performance last week, the Colts against the Packers. The Colts showed me something. I believe in the Colts now way more than I did before. I just think this division will come down to that. And the idea of the Colts having a season sweep of the Titans doesn't feel right to me. I'm going to take the Titans.
Yeah.
To win the game.
I like it as well. Same. All right. Two teams that are not going to make the playoffs, Panthers and Vikings. So let's just mow through this, Joe. 3.5 Vikings favorites. I am going to say Panthers cover.
I think the Vikings cover because the Vikings will do what the Vikings do, which is not play well when there's pressure and play well when there was no pressure. The Vikings, essentially, their season was signed, sealed, and delivered over, and then they go on a little hot run, and it's like, hey, if we just win every game we're supposed to from here on out, we could have an outside shot at the playoffs. And they lose last week, a game that they should have won, and now they're done.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Now they'll play well, now that they're absolutely, positively, under no circumstances, making the playoffs.
Yeah. Another West to East game. Arizona's in Foxborough. They are 2.5-point favorites on the road.
I'll go with the Cardinals on that. If the Patriots couldn't beat the Texans last week, I just think the Cardinals are way more dynamic.
Yeah.
Better defense, better offense, better everything.
Yeah, I agree. Go in Arizona. All right, the Dolphins go to the 0-10 Jets. They're 7-point favorites. I'm going to go Jets cover.
I feel like that's the right call. Feels like a trap game. Feels like the drama of the Tua bench starting keeps this game close. But I'm going to defer to what I've been saying all the year. Just enjoy the stacks of money betting against the Jets. Even when they play a close game, they end up blowing it and not covering.
Yeah. All right. The Browns are also 7-point favorites as well. This one is in Jacksonville. The Jags are weird, man, because they'll, like, give people some games. I'm going to say Jacksonville covers.
I'm going to say Jacksonville covers, too, because I agree with you. They're weird. I thought they were going to be weird last week and play the Steelers tighter than they did.
They did for, like, a quarter and a half.
I know. And I was like, see, this is what I fucking said was going to happen. And then the Steelers were like, we're going to score every fucking time for the rest of the game. So maybe we were a week early, Andy. Maybe we were a week early on the Jags come to play prediction. I'm with you, Jags.
Raven Steelers. There's no line right now, so we'll just skip over that.
I was with you. I liked getting a wonky early in the week game. I like this Ravens upset. Yeah. I don't think the Steelers go 16-0. And if you look at their schedule down the stretch, it's not like there's based on who they play. And their record so far, there's not a game that stands out as like, oh, this is the game the Steelers lose. So it seemed like this could have been it. So I guess we'll see come Sunday.
Yeah. All right. The Saints travel a mile high. They're 6-point favorites against the Broncos. The Taysom Hill show goes on the road.
You were right last week, dude. Your Broncos came to play. Do they put a little something together down the stretch? It's a little trail, a little something at the end
well,
of the year.
Well, I think
at least close enough to cover.
I think the Saints are outside, you know, Colorado, November, Taysom Hill's first game. I like them. I like the Broncos to cover at 6.
I'm going to go with the Saints, and here's why I'm going to go with the Saints. Everything you said is absolutely correct when Drew Brees is the quarterback. Taysom Hill, he's running. Their defense playing well. I feel like they go to the ground and pound, and they win this game, you know, 21-10.
Okay. All right. Niners-Rams, this will be in L.A. Rams are 6.5-point favorites.
Too big for me. Division game. I'll go with the Niners.
Yeah, I agree. You like that Dirty Sports thread I've started? Just reminding everybody about Jared Goff every time he does something stupid.
I have noticed that, yeah. I do enjoy it.
Well, it's fun because it's like all the defenders, it's like the proof is in the video, bro. He is not a good quarterback. Medium pizza.
Medium pizza. Which, again, medium pizza is good. It's just not – you don't write home about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the worst all-time Andy Reuther moves ever.
The 2 medium pizza order?
I mean
– It's still – yeah.
Like, what was I thinking?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't
worse than me trying to sleep next to a coyote in the Nevada desert.
Yeah.
It's a terrible decision.
You get in the back of a cab and you're like, can you take me home? Also, can we stop at 2 medium pizzas on the way? She's like, son, you are wasted. We'll stop for a large. I just got to drop off somebody at the airport first.
The Bucks bounce back. Brady is looking bad against good teams. He's got a tough one this week. The Chiefs coming to town, and they are 3.5-point favorites.
The Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites at the Bucks.
And I don't know if you're seeing this. There's a lot of chirping that Bruce Arians and Brady are having some problems.
Look, Bruce Arians seems like the kind of guy who just is pretty candid, and he's not really worried about who it bothers. And, you know, he's been pretty candid of a lot of different quarterbacks over the years, Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer. And so, you know, I also think Brady's probably a guy who responds to tough love. I don't know if this is a strategy that Bruce Arians is doing on purpose. But all that being said, the Chiefs are rolling. The Chiefs the way here's what I'll say. The way the Rams moved the ball against that Bucs defense doesn't give me a lot of, you know, confidence in them versus the Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree.
Chiefs cover.
I agree. All right, Sunday Night Football, Bears, Packers at Lambeau. Packers are 8.5-point favorites.
8.5.
Ooh.
That's too bad. I was prepared to take the Packers, no doubt about it. 8.5 is too much. I'll take the Bears.
I think Mitchell Trubisky's starting for him.
I honestly it doesn't – as long as it's not Glennon, who is starting where? He's starting somewhere.
Starting for the Jags this week. So maybe we should change that pick.
No, I like it. I like it.
All right. I'm not – yeah, I can't do 8.5. Can't do it. So I got to go Bears in that one. And Monday Night Football, Seattle at Philly.
Now I'm a Russ fan. Let's go.
They're 5-point favorites. 5-point favorites.
I think that's an easy cover for the Seahawks. I just think that the Eagles are bad.
I'll go Philly.
And the Eagles not being – like, the one thing that Seattle has done defensively well, especially last week, is stop the run. If you're turning this game over to just Carson Wentz, no – like, tough running game, good night. Let your boy cook.
Yeah.
Cook it up. Let him make ramen.
All right, I'll go with Philly just to be contrarian. That's our Week 12 picks. Joe, before we end the show – We got one call you want to get to.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, remember? The guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was I thought you said we had a call as well.
Yeah, he left a call.
Oh, did he? I can't wait to hear it. Let's go.
What's up, fellas? This is JT from Jersey, long-time listener, calling in for a question for Mr. Joe Prano. I'm just getting into the Strokes, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about them, you know, like maybe a favorite song or favorite memory, you know, just give a kind of overall synopsis of them. Cage Elephant is my personal favorite band, but the Strokes are coming up for me for sure, so I would love to get your take. Stay dirty, fellas, and the condoms are for Joe Bartnick.
Classic.
Ooh, a classic. A throwback condoms are for.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had left a call. That's why I was surprised. But he hit me up on Venmo, and he threw a little money at my way on Venmo. He said, could you just talk about the Strokes on the show? I'll remind you on Wednesday. I guess he was reminding me with a call. And I want to say this before I get to talking about it. We are very much for sale. Like, a donation to me at Andy Ruther, The Dirty Sports, whatever. Like, we love to talk about all kinds of stuff on the show. And if you want your question or your comment or your critique moved to the top of the pile, do it like the program. Slip it into our hands with a couple bucks and move yourself to the front of the line. But also, I'm happy to talk about the Strokes for free. The Strokes are easily one of my top bands of all time. As far as memories, things I love, like the thing about the Strokes for me, and I feel like they hold a very special place in my heart because of this. Their album came out September 11th, 2001. I actually had it a few days before that. I bought it I bought the UK version, which came out earlier at Bleecker Street Records on Bleecker Street. I got the version of the first album with the girl's naked torso and side profile. That had New York City Cops on it, then removed for the American release because of the 9/11 stuff. Maybe it didn't come out 9/11. Maybe it came out like the week later or something like that. But anyway, I had seen them at the Mercury Lounge when they were like still a thing. And I was like, yo, this band is fucking nuts. And I didn't even know at that time that they were like being groomed as this thing. Like I'd heard, you know, I was like hanging out in New York, going to a lot of concerts, going to a lot of shows. Mercury Lounge isn't a lot bigger than Andy Ruther's old apartment. Small place, saw them, they rocked. I was like, this band is legit. A lot of people were like, yeah, no shit, dude. They have a huge record deal. Their record's coming out in a couple months. It's going to be nuts. So their album comes out, and I mean, I rock their album on repeat for months and months and months. It was the soundtrack for me of a post 9/11 New York, my first year in New York City, living there. And it really felt like the sound of New York City at that time. I went and saw them in concert numerous times on that first tour, their first tour supporting that album. I saw them at a little club in Long Island. I saw them at Hammerstein Ballroom on Halloween night, 2001. And what they would do is they would play their album in order once through. Occasionally they'd play Last Night, which was their big single, a second time to close the show, and that's it. The album running length is like 43 minutes or something like that. In order, sometimes a second encore, and they get out. It was awesome. And it just was like, I just loved it. Two, three albums. A lot of music snobs will be like, that was their only good album. I think their first three were all pretty great. Fell off a little bit after that, but I still love them. I still celebrate their entire catalog. They obviously had a new album out recently, and they played SNL a couple weeks ago. And just literally one of my top, I would say, top three bands ever. We'd have to, I have to really like chop that up, but people have often asked me if I could bring, you know, any artist discography to a desert island. Like, I think I could get by with the first Strokes album on repeat. So great. And I'm excited to hear that a younger generation is finding them. There's really no comparison to that I actually just ordered a book, Andy, and then I'm done. I just ordered a book called Meet Me in the Bathroom, which is about that era of the return of New York rock and roll, which they were kind of the face of, and I'm excited to read it. And it holds such special place in my heart because of everything that was going on in New York at the time. Love the Strokes. Legends.
Not to diminish what you said, but Meet Me in the Bathroom is also what the men say on Grindr.
Yeah. low-key banger that slipped by in the because everybody knows the first album, you know, but low-key Strokes banger, underappreciated, Other Side, and Heart in a Cage.
Perfect. Prano.
And there's a great one last thing, Andy, and there's an awesome bluegrass cover of Heart in a Cage. Chris Thile, awesome Strokes cover.
Word. Well, you answered it all. Guys, the hotline is 310-359-8365. Give us a ring. You guys know what to do. Big, big thanks to everybody on this Thanksgiving. All the love and support. The outpouring has been amazing this year. I have felt it so much, and I am so lucky and so thankful and grateful. So I want all the dirtballs to know that day doesn't go by where I don't think about that. So much love, much thanks to everybody.
And if you send your address to Andy in his DMs, he'll send you a little card. He's a big card guy. Loves cards. He's a grinder.
Sending cards.
Handwritten cards.
Bro, I'm the king. I'm the card king. Just call it to me. That's gonna be on my gravestone. Card king. I got three journals right now. I might add a fourth journal. Wow. This is where I'm at.
You use them simultaneously?
Oh yeah.
Wild.
Different things.
One's just recipes. One's like,
bro, that writing game is Trump tight, motherfuckers. All right, Dirtballs. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Dirty Sports. You can follow me on Andy at Andy Ruther, blah, blah, blah. Joe Prano.
At Joe Prano, at Fix Your Life. Joe Prano on TikTok. Send us your Venmos and your questions. Move to the top of the line. Drink Miller Lite tomorrow. Enjoy your Thanksgivings. And
yeah,
do all those things.
Exactly. All right, Dirtballs. Much love, guys. Have a great holiday weekend. And as always, stay dirty.